Good evening, everybody. Here we are with Among the Realms. Okay, we're going to go around the table real quick, introduce everybody, and then I'll give you the call-in number, and we'll tell you what we're talking about tonight. Starting with...
Jackie.
Vera.
Mercedes.
Virgil.
Paul.
And Dana.
Terrific, and I'm Charlie, and I tell you what, we're sitting here at Trinity Metaphysical in Hamburg, New Jersey. The number for the store, in case you ever want to talk to Jackie or get a reading or something like that, is 973-209-7070 or
973-209-7070.
Okay, same number. But if you want to call into the show tonight, we're going to be doing questions and answers on the paranormal. We've got a bunch of people that have already, you know, sent in questions from all over the country. We're going to be addressing those. And if anybody has any questions, they can also call 347-633-9648. Now, if you didn't get that the first time, you're going to have to wait till the end of the show. No, 347-633-9648. But then again, if you do need to come to the shop and get a reading or talk to us about ghost investigations, our address is 3617 Route 23 in Hamburg, New Jersey. This is home of the Ecrypt Ghost Investigators. So just so that you know, tonight's show is going to be pretty interesting only for the fact that everybody's got questions. I don't think there's a person out there, even if they say they don't believe in the paranormal, they don't believe in any of that, they've always got questions about it, or they've got a good story to tell. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through a lot of questions that people have actually sent in to us and had questions about. But I think before we start, I think everybody here, since we're all investigators, we're all here as a group, we have a great team here. I'm going to go around the table and ask each one of you, what do you think paranormal means? Starting with Dana.
Thank you, Charlie.
Surprise!
The paranormal. Well, having it, when you feel it, you know it. When you see it, you know it. It's like, and it's hard, sometimes hard to describe to people who haven't experienced it, but the paranormal is anything outside of what we consider a normal experience, I think. And it's like, I think in the broader sense, it's like spirits and past people who have passed on and entities, which may or may not be human, and, ghosts.
Okay.
Et cetera.
Et cetera.
Et cetera.
Okay. Paul, what do you think?
I was actually asked at the show what I thought paranormal meant, and I just said something that's not normal, something that most people are, it's not what they grew up with. It's not what I call a paradigm or what they believe in. It's something that's not in everyone's routine or in their everyday lives, like ghosts, spirits, you know, whatever they were, however they were raised. It's whatever, however. Yep, lost that one. It's the opposite of how they were raised.
Except for those people who were raised with it.
Correct.
Cool.
That would be me.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, Bert.
To me, the paranormal was around me all the time. So I experienced since I was little. So I have the same interest in it. And I think that the definition Dana gave was pretty accurate, covered most of it. It goes beyond ghosts, too. It can be cryptozoology. It can be mysteries and history, things we don't know, some of it. Even space could, a lot of that could be considered paranormal because they don't know what's going on up there and what is normal for up there because we don't spend a lot of time there. So it can be a little, it's a very broad scientific, you know, study, I would believe.
Well, according to the computer and Wikipedia,
ooh,
it's things that are beyond the scope of normal scientific understanding. But they lump into that like telekinesis, yeah, and clairvoyance. So
they lump everything,
anything
metaphysical gets rolled into the word paranormal.
So it's kind of like a whole panoply.
Anything that isn't in the ordinary.
Okay, well, these two guys went out of sequence. Now we're going to.
They're out of order. They're penalized.
Wow. Well, now,
Now everyone has gone.
I tried to hand it off.
There's not everybody. Not everybody.
Well, I mean, what can I add to it? Because everything was said, really. But I, you know, that's what it is. It's that metaphysical, spiritual realm, cryptozoology. You could lump a lot of things into there, into that paranormal category. But I really think it's just something trying to figure out things that people don't really know a lot about and trying to understand.
The unknown.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, and it's things that happen to you that you're trying to explain, and things that out of the ordinary that don't fit into anything
doesn't
else.
Doesn't have a
description or a definition, yeah.
It's also a lot of things that can't be documented in the scientific
yes,
fashion.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It can't be. You can't recreate it on demand. That's why a lot of people. That's why a lot of the mainstream scientists don't go for it.
Well, okay, so if it's not really mainstream and it can't be explained, is that why so many people are afraid of it?
Yes. Because there is no tangible reason for them to understand it. Like, there's nothing they can, like, actually, like, see or feel or just to prove that it's there or it exists.
Well,
when
what?
We get an EVP or something, that's us telling somebody that that's a voice on the other end, but they'll find an explanation for where that voice came from and how it really isn't that.
What about tangible when they get touched or something?
Yeah, but we do, but some people make that as, oh, it's my imagination.
Or they think they're going crazy.
Yeah, because
it's the wind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The wind or something, yes.
Swamp cast.
And I just want to note that Virgil looks very studious tonight.
That's my glass.
Virgil looks like he's been studying up here for tonight. I don't know, but hey, I don't think he needs to, but he probably is good.
You look like Merlin.
Yeah.
Like you
thank you.
That's excellent. Merlin Olsen? From Little House on the Prairie? Maybe
hey.
Just a beard, but nothing else.
You from here like down.
Merlin. Yeah, from there down, right?
Okay.
Jonathan.
Carry a football with you.
That's Jonathan.
That's No. Was it Jonathan? Jonathan Edwards. That was
Not Edwards.
Garvey.
Garvey is our local, is our in-house Deep Little House on the Prairie.
I remember saying that if there was ever a Little House on the Prairie person at Chiller Theater, I would punch my way through the crowd to get to them.
Why would somebody from Little House on the Prairie be at Chiller?
Oh, lots of
come
people
on.
Come. Yeah.
Really?
Hey, that's where I met Henry Winkler.
I met Henry Winkler at Newark Airport. I mean,
on his way to Chiller Theater.
John Boy is there this year, you know.
John Boy. All right, we're getting off track. Now, Vera, personally, you read that. Personally, what do you think of paranormal?
Just anything that isn't normal.
Yep, that's
really.
Exactly.
Is that what para means?
It means extra normal,
normal
or addition to normal.
Very good. Young Frankenstein.
Okay, so
well played, sir.
This way.
So yes. Each one of us has had our own personal paranormal experience.
We have.
Plural.
I'm sure of it. We've all all sitting at this table, I know, have had experiences, and we didn't start out that way. Jackie started out early in life doing this, and Virgil did, and maybe Mercedes did. Maybe Vera did? All right. I didn't.
I'm sure you did. You probably just aren't.
Well, I used to sit up all. I was 4 years old, so I used to sit up all night in the dark and have a tea party with somebody.
Oh, there you go.
She's fine.
That's
though.
Why we got lots of cool paranormal questions.
The aliens took her memories.
That'll tell you what kind of a group we have.
It's always a party.
So it turns out more people than you think have had paranormal experiences, and they start
absolutely.
Thinking about it.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not just paranormal. I mean, you know, it adds
spiritual.
Into the whole
aliens.
Spiritual and whatever. I mean, energy use and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, I told you I saw an aura
mm-hmm.
in the mirror. And my mom said, well, you're looking too hard. Stop that.
Yeah.
That's why you see that.
You'll hurt your eyes.
You'll hurt your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, you'll go blind.
At least you won't go blind from that, I don't think.
I was in the bathroom.
I used to talk to myself in the mirror. Myself used to talk back, and my mom used to just say, "What did you say?"
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
It's
pretty cool.
Well, and she's our leader, everybody. Listen,
let's hold her in front of a mirror and see what happens.
Everybody's had their chance to say what paranormal here is, but I think we've got Ruth on the line.
Yeah.
So we're going to say, Ruth, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Ruth.
Hey, there she is.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
How's the vortex done?
I am currently vortex free. Sometimes my chair in my office is in a vortex, but I haven't felt a thing in a couple hours, so I'm okay.
You gotta turn it off. No.
Yeah. Anyway. I would say that's paranormal.
It is?
Yes.
Is that what paranormal means to you?
Well, anything you can't explain, that can't be explained by science, you know, the logical mind and all that happy stuff that we're accustomed to, it's not normal. So it's paranormal.
I like it. That sounds good. Because we've been to quite a few different fests and what have you where the paranormal were featured. And, you know, a lot of people walk through and I don't think they really have an idea. They just like the name, but they don't know what it means. And then when they come over to our booth or whoever's booth and start talking about their experiences, they don't realize that that's paranormal. It's not just ghosts. It's paranormal. So we cover the whole gambit there. But let's dive right into some of the questions here for the people that are listening. Okay, we have like two pages of questions here.
And I actually put them in the order that they were given to us
okay.
so that they could get
okay.
by the who called in first or
well,
who
Carla,
emailed.
Carla in Florida. We don't know where in Florida, but Carla in Florida said, "What is the Akashic Records? Akashic Records." People say it differently. I have no clue. I'm gonna
pass it on.
Anybody want? Anybody?
Do you want to do it? Or do you want me?
You can start. I have.
It's a database of like everything, basically. That's not in our plane. Some people feel it's like the astral plane that you get it, but it's like our thoughts, our words, our emotions. But everybody. So everybody's supposed to be connected in some way. So when you need information, you're able to go to the Akashic Records and get the information.
What that is?
It's like a big library.
Yep. It's a big, huge, huge database.
I didn't know that. I thought I had no clue what it was.
You probably use it and don't even know it.
It's supposed to be energetically encoded in
and
the
Ruth,
non-physical
yeah,
plane.
And Ruth,
like the
Ruth knows.
Quantum stuff that, you know, being able to go out there and grab what you need? Or?
You imagine yourself, the meditation is to go climb the
yeah.
ladder to go in and walk to see what information,
right.
like as if you're in a library and you have a card catalog and you're looking up what you need.
Really?
But there were, I don't know if anybody knows, Edgar Casey.
Yes, he's the one who
used to
he's like the famous
Akashic
one who,
records
yep,
a
yep.
lot.
So and, did Nostradamus.
Yes.
Yep.
And we all know, well, never mind.
It's supposed to be that a lot of people feel psychics get, you know, the good ones, they go, that's where they go to receive their information, even if they don't know they do. It's supposed to be like the information from every soul and every being in the cosmos.
Past and future.
So, yeah.
Past
Ruth.
And future. I was just
yep,
going to ask
absolutely.
That. Past and future.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth,
so,
don't you go to the I remember you talking about that.
I have
she
been
has
there.
A library card.
I have
been
yes,
there.
I have my ID and... I have found, and I was taught to ask one of your guides or ask for a guide to
yep.
take you there because it's not, you know, it's just not like that, you know, you just get there, bang, you're there.
Right.
If you, you know, you do a little meditation and ask your guide to take you there, you can, you guys talked about climbing a ladder. Personally, bad knees, I take an elevator. So you take the elevator up to the floor where your Akashic records or the whatever records you desire to see, to go into, and the elevator doors open, and you step out of the elevator, and your guide stays. They don't come with you. Nobody goes into the Akashic mm-hmm. records of your Akashic records
right.
but you. There is sort of a guardian, the librarian, so to speak, that you check in with, and I guess out of respect, you ask permission, you know, and you're given permission to go in, and you can go, you know, with your intent to see if you want to see a past life or what your relationship was with someone in this life, in a previous life, or wherever you'd like to go. You use your intention, and you just reach out to, you know, there's like in a library, a shelf of books, and through your subconscious, your higher self guides you to choose the correct book, And you can, you know, you take it to a table or, you know, sit and look at it, or something more like a podium if you prefer. Whatever, you know, whatever makes you comfortable, and you can open up the book and have a look at it and see what you can find.
And the first reference, this, I think we were talking about that, Virgil.
Yeah, it was Exodus 32:32.
In the Bible.
And that's where it's Moses finds out that he came down and they were all worshiping the gilded calf. And he goes back to God and he says, if he's bargaining with God, and he says, you can remove my name from the book if you forgive them. And that's the first mention in the Bible of that. And they refer to it more in the Bible as the...
You think that's the Akashic Record?
The Book of Life. Well, there was a comparison between that and the book. They think that that's what they were referring to in the Bible also, even though it's called the Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that may have been what Moses was referencing when he said, you can remove my name from the book. Because if the name is gone, then you don't exist to them anymore. I mean, I don't know. That's the research that I did.
I think you sold Ruth on me.
Well, that's
tell.
Okay. I haven't been to the library yet.
Now, I got a question as far as you said only you can go in and ask her to get the information on your own stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when you're getting a reading? Does that person use your library card to go up there?
I think when you get a reading, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
But Edgar Casey was accessing other people's information.
No, I think what you're meant to receive from that for them, you would get if you were meant to. If they were somebody that needed to know it.
So
like,
they give
like
you a
Virgil
temporary library
he,
card or what?
No, like he's saying about Edgar Casey, he was able to go in and get the information that somebody needed to have.
He was doing medical intuition.
Yeah, for them.
Stuff,
he was doing the work for them.
But he would only give them the information that was necessary for what they were there for. He wasn't giving them a whole biography of all their lives.
Right. Or their past.
So maybe it's limited to that. Who knows?
Yeah. Everybody sees it different,
though. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's... I never heard of stuff like that.
You should do a meditation and visit the
Akashic. I have to start. I'm starting tonight.
Okay.
I'm starting
right now. Everybody's
second hour.
Quiet.
Right now. Everybody take a deep breath.
Three deep breaths. I tell you what. Hang on a second. I don't want to go too far because we never take any callers. It seems like we always get wrapped up. I'm going to take a caller here that's been waiting for a little while already. So hang on. We're going to bring them in, okay? Hang on. Hello, caller. Who are you?
Hi.
Where are you from, caller? What's your name?
Last four digits.
Diana. I'm in Southwest Florida.
Southwest Florida. Ooh, I like that. Where's that, down around Naples?
Well, about an hour from Naples, close to Fort Myers.
Oh, very nice. Terrific. So what do you think of the Akashic Records there?
Well, I think it's a database. You know, of everything that you need to know about yourself. But I also think that with the times changing, that we can actually erase things that don't need to be there anymore with your angels and guides. You know, kind of like sending out the records. Been there, done that, don't need to do this again. I think we can do that. I think we can erase. We don't need to meet the big bad boogeyman in the next life, or the, you know, because we've already done it three times, we're over it, we can erase that now, that type of thing. Yeah, I think it's a record, it's a hall of records.
Wow, terrific. Well, do you have a question of anybody here?
I don't know, what kind of questions am I supposed to ask? Are you readers, or are you just people
having fun? Talking tonight about, well, we like to have fun, but we're talking primarily tonight about questions and answers about all paranormal stuff.
Oh, are you a paranormal? See, I didn't know. I don't have a computer. I just have a list of Block Talk Radio phone numbers and your list.
Cool.
You're one of the old phone numbers that I have. I don't even know what show I'm talking to. Paranormal, that's cool.
Just threw the dice, and here we are.
You know
that's
a lot
great.
About ghosts, huh?
Yeah, we do. We know everything there is.
I have had a ghost I've had a ghost that's knocked on the door. The door between the inside of the garage and the house. And also then, about a month later, knocked on the sliding glass door. And each time it was like three knocks, but you know, on the sliding glass door, that's a little bit louder. It has a tune, how glass does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they want, but that's it. That's all they do is knock on the door.
I don't think it was coincidence that you called this number.
Oh, you know about ghosts knocking on doors?
Oh, well, yeah.
About your door, yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I'm going through papers and throwing them away, and then just, I picked out a few numbers off the page, and I found two. There's another show I found called Dance Party at 9 p.m. I mean, this is probably...
That's all right after us. Terrific, yeah.
This is so good.
That's our
disco ball.
That's our second show.
That's our second show. Yep, that's it. Well, it's terrific.
So,
but
so you're the paranormal team. I'll make sure I mark it down.
Nothing happens by chance. You called us
for a reason. I want my computer to work. Can any chance that ghost can make my computer come back?
All right, give us 5 minutes. Hang on.
Knock on the door all you want, as long as you're a computer fixer. So what do y'all think about that, knocking on the door?
Vera wants to say something to you.
I said was that perhaps if she hung on, there's a lot of other questions that maybe she would enjoy that.
Oh, well, we could do that. You want to hang on and listen to...
We have some ghost questions.
Because we got a whole bunch of stuff we're going to be going over here. You want to hang on?
I know she doesn't have a computer, but she can do it through the phone.
There you go.
I will hang on, but if you have any answers about what the knocking's about, you know, let me know.
Did you ask?
Yeah, you can ask. You can talk.
We've been trying to communicate.
I have. I said, get in here, sit down, talk to me, so that I can hear you, and it doesn't work. I guess I can't hear yet. I don't have the hearing thing intact or whatever it takes to hear them.
You need a recorder. Because you can't often hear these things just with your ears, but if you have a recorder on when you're asking questions, then you listen back to the recording. That's when you get hear your answers.
You know what you might also want to do is there are plenty of groups down in the Fort Myers area that you might want to contact and have them come in and actually do an investigation. And if they turn something up, it might be that interesting for you.
And only the ones that are free.
Yeah, don't do one that's going to charge you. Those are they're phony. Do the ones that will come over and do it as basically just to help out. Those are the ones that really care the most. But there are plenty of groups in your area, I'm sure, that they love.
So do I just look up in the Yellow Pages?
Yeah, pretty much.
I would Google.
I Google, yeah.
You could
Google paranormal groups.
You could ask around. There's plenty of people that would probably recommend a group to you, too. Okay?
Yeah, we don't know any
dumb. I'll give it a try. People out here kind of like, when you say angel card reading, they get scared and run from you. So I don't know if that's what they're going to do. When I say paranormal, they may run faster.
Well, you got to admit, Florida's like Sodom and Gomorrah, so when they hear angel cards, they will run. So.
Tell me you only had two knocks then, for that sentence.
Okay, you can put me on hold and I'll listen to you.
Terrific. Right. Well, thanks for calling in, though. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Little does she know.
Next question.
Okay, next question. I just cut her off. Sorry,
you did not,
I
really?
I couldn't get the microphone up here. All right.
Sorry about that.
Okay, second question. What is the significance of certain numbers? For example, master numbers or angel numbers? And that's from Amy in Pennsylvania. Anybody want to take that one?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm sure a few of us know some, right?
Angel numbers
are how angels communicate with us, and those numbers always mean something very specific. But they're always in sequence, and what some people don't know is, like, if it's an 11, it would have the same meaning, but more intense if it's 111, or if it's 1111, or however you want to work it. And just for people who want to know what 111 means, that's usually that what you're thinking about is manifesting really quickly, so you're supposed to make sure you keep your thoughts positive, and you know, the angels are with you.
And my question is, how do these numbers materialize? Because that was like, I saw the question and I said,
it's an angel communicating with us.
So you see it in your mind's eye. It's not like you're seeing it repeated on a mailbox or something.
No, you can. You
are
too? Absolutely.
You may look at your digital clock and it's 11.
Yeah, you wake up the same time every single night. Yeah.
You see 11:11.
Actually,
3:33, you know.
I just sent, my best friend Alicia just got a job teaching English to freshmen in a high school, and she took a picture in her classroom, and her room number was showing, and I just felt like I had to tell her what the number was, so I just sent it to her, and it's, your success is guaranteed as you're surrounded by angels and ascended masters.
What number is it?
314. Yep. All you need to do is keep your thoughts focused on your desired outcomes, which she was like, that's so great, thank you, because it's her first year straight out of graduating college that she's teaching, so it was really good for her to hear. But I just sent that to her today, so I'm glad that was a question.
Where do you get the meaning? I know
Doreen
Virtue.
Doreen
Virtue.
Yeah. That's the one we use a lot.
Because I have them all here. But,
yeah.
And
yep.
When the numbers get long, she says to, like, break them up into threes and
stuff. Because they have, like, that meaning, but sometimes it's a little more, there's, like, a little bit more to it, or it's more intense. And then the master numbers, which a lot of people get mixed up on this, is they think it's, if it's a double number, and it's not. The master numbers are 11, 22, and 33. And they all mean something. The 11 is more of the intuitive side of the intuitive guidance. The 22 is the one where you're manifesting your dreams into a reality, and then the 33 is the combination of both, but it's, you're embarking on more of a spiritual, you know, awareness there, or you know, it's spiritual uplifting.
Do people come to you for number readings, or is this something they do for themselves?
Most people who are more, who kind of know a little bit about, like, how that works, they usually know about it to explain to people when they are seeing those type of numbers or what they mean, and we usually do everything in those numbers. Like, we'll tend to try to do things in 11s or 22s, or, you know, I like the number 7 too, even though it's not necessarily master, but it's just, you know, a lot of them work that way. So some people won't do anything unless their numbers add up to that, and what's funny is, even, like, I'll see things, and if you do it like numerology, where you reduce it and it comes out to that number, or you add them together, because that's that number, it's interesting to see how it works. So.
Do we add the 11s, like 1 plus 1 is 2? The 22 is 2 plus 2 is 4?
They do in numerology, but when you're using it, you're Ruth already. When you're doing it like as a master number, it's an 11 and it's a 22.
Okay.
And it's a 33, right, Ruth?
Right.
Sorry,
if you're doing it as angel numbers. And by the way, if you don't know, I was born on 11/22.
That's awesome.
Wow. So was my
daughter.
Aren't
I special?
You are special.
That's why you get to go to the library.
Yeah, that's why you get to go to the big library.
In 61, which reduces to 7, which is also a special number. So, just so special.
Wow.
And modest to boot.
Yeah, enough about me.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's very modest.
Got another question here. We've got one from Kristen in Ohio. Hopefully she's listening. It says, I hear spirits, but I can't see them. Sometimes I hear too many at a time, and I don't know what to do. How can I stop it, or at least keep it from being so overwhelming?
Tell them to slow down.
Yep.
That's a start.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
You have to take them one at a time.
Boy, that was good. Okay, next question.
All right, next. The line forms on the
you
right.
Can't
I can only
stop
talk.
It.
Take a ticket.
Because sometimes if you try to stop it, it almost makes it worse. You know, I think trying to center yourself enough that you can, you know, see who's trying to talk to you, and if you see there's a man and you see there's a woman, or you feel like it's that, because some people can't see them, like she said, she can't see them, she can hear them, but just say, okay, I need the spirit that's loud, or the spirit that's telling me this first, and you need the others to just say, you know, please wait until I get to you.
Do earplugs
help? Just like if you were here. No.
Earplugs.
They make it worse.
They make it worse.
Okay. That's not, not in your ears.
How about scotch?
You might see triple then. Then you will be seeing on that hearing.
Seems to help me many times. But hey, we're not judging anybody here, right? How about, so what if, have you ever had the experience where you're talking to one spirit and another one comes in?
Oh, yeah.
And then another one comes
in?
Yep. I mean, how do you control that?
You take control. You always want to be in control. You never want to let them control you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to. You have to just say, I'm talking to so-and-so right now. You know, and, you know, I'll get to you as soon as I can.
And if you have a whole group talking to, how do you single out the one you want to talk to?
Usually, there's going to be one that comes up more, or is, I'll say, more prominent.
Yeah.
You know, when they're coming through, so you're going to have to listen to whoever. Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes the one you want to speak to is not the one that's going to come forward,
mm-hmm.
so it gets a little.
Somebody might be a little more obnoxious.
Yeah. You can ask your guides for help too. Like you have what we call a gatekeeper. You could say, yo, gatekeeper, give me a hand here, you know, get the crowd under control, bring me the one that I need to talk to, and that will help also.
Okay, does saging get rid of any of the spirits that you want to talk to?
Not unless they're negative.
How do you know they're negative?
If they want to talk to you, they're going to talk to you, and if you don't talk to them, they're going to collect.
Really?
You're going to have a whole bunch until you talk. Just like the sixth sense.
The sixth sense. They're all coming in. Okay.
Yeah,
remember that scene when she just finds out she's really a medium and she's sitting in the dining room and there's
whole
crowds of them and they're all trying to talk at the same time? It gets like that sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. That's pretty, reminds me of that movie, what was the kid's I See Dead People?
Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense.
Yeah,
and
Sixth Sense.
He's sitting there and he makes a little tent in his room.
Yep.
And they're just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, at that age,
he sees them.
Yeah, he hears them, sees them, and, you know, he can't. He doesn't know how to shut them off, you know. Luckily, he had Bruce Willis, who was also, nobody knew really at that time he was a ghost. And so
Spoiler alert.
Exactly.
Everybody's seen that movie.
It's a new generation.
I didn't say it yet.
It's almost like, you know, when
you're watching. When they're angry, it's getting cold.
Guess who wins?
The goat.
Yeah,
the goat. Where is that?
Where's
that goat?
Yeah, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Headphones off. Don't do it. Okay.
I get my phone ready.
Yeah, right. Question number four. Question number four from Brian. In New York. Not far from us. Brian, all right. He says, what is the difference between dark energy and dark matter?
Take it away, Virgil.
No, you did more research than that.
No.
Are we talking energy drinks here? What is it?
It's more like space talk.
What is it? Spice Girls?
Space talk.
Oh, space
girls. All right, I'm done. I can't talk now.
Spice Girls are a little, got a lot of dark energy, man. There, what?
Black eye. Okay,
what? What?
You better.
Come on, Bert.
Your mouth.
Oh, Virgil.
Then I'll laugh on the microphone. I'm trying not to laugh.
Can you be between dark energy and dark matter? How's that?
I think we are right now.
Talk to them like you.
Dark matter cannot be detected through any kind of optical or radio telescopes. It really can't be measured through electromagnetic fields or anything else like that. It's just out there. The only way it can be detected is through background radiation. So you can take a look at the other galaxies, anything that's revolving around. And if you can find the background radiation, the scientists are able to measure the dark matter.
So it can be measured.
It also exists as a gravitational effect on other bodies.
Okay.
So,
so what's the difference?
So that's dark matter.
Dark matter attracts positive energy, and the dark energy repels.
Well, I don't know if it does.
More of a negative.
It sounds to me like that's not
a gravitational force.
Yeah.
It's not a paranormal.
No.
It's more of a scientific.
It's more of a.
So why is it?
It's like physics.
Well, they can't really explain it so well, so it's para.
Well, and it's supposedly is most of the matter in the universe is dark matter.
Is it?
Dark matter makes up 72. Dark energy. Dark. Oh, I said dark matter.
Ooh,
yeah.
Dark
matter
energy.
Is 23% of what we see, roughly, and dark energy is 72%.
So which one is a black hole?
That's something different.
Is that a dark hole?
I don't believe that's considered either one of those.
So how do you see 73% of dark energy?
They believe that the visible cosmos is made up of that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they can't...
Energy.
No, it's the total is 96%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything that we visibly see is about 4 to 5% of the cosmos.
Okay.
Which is kind of frightening to think that's how little we know.
Right.
And the 72% of the dark energy, we don't really... It's something, in essence, that they made up to explain why there's nothing there. And they've made it up to explain why the universe is expanding.
So dark energy is also a scientific term?
It is. It's like them coming up with quantum physics and things. It's something that they've labeled because they know there's some energy form there because it's pushing the galaxy to continue expanding. But they can't grab it. They can't hold it in their hand. They have a lot of theories about what it is.
When did they first make this?
I think it was in the late 90s, right?
Yeah.
When they first discovered it through something they did with Hubble, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized they did this test, which I can't remember the name of. And they all believed that from the Big Bang that the universe should be slowing down because all that energy was expended and eventually things would slow down. But they found that it's expanding, and it's expanding more quickly. So they had to rethink everything, and that's kind of where this has come up, is to explain some of that.
The word rethink gets me to rethink that we don't know, and we just keep changing.
No, we come up with these terms.
Next year, we'll have some other.
I mean, imagine if you, in your life, you didn't have any idea what 72% of it was. And if something was acting on your life, and that would be 3/4 of your life pretty much, and you couldn't explain it, and you couldn't see it, and you couldn't touch it, but you could only see the effects of it.
But you need a label for it.
But you have to call it something.
You have to call it something.
So other people can talk about it.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot more elaborate than that, but it just to kind of make it simple, they're two almost opposite activities in space. And they've this is another quote that I read, was that they were both forged at the Big Bang. So they believe these properties existed from that point. And we've just kind of identified them, you know, in the last 20 years or so. There was another scientist I read about that I think in the 30s thought he discovered dark matter, but they weren't even advanced enough to kind of explain what he was observing.
So this is the scientific name for what we call down here on Earth zombies.
No.
Yeah, because they're saying that they exist because of something that happens from
I guess
them.
You could call them dark energy
reaction,
if you want.
We
whatever.
We have never seen them.
No, we can see them. You can go to the Night of the Living Dead.
No.
Zombie
real zombies.
Hater.
You could go on the Walking Dead.
I'm not going to stab somebody in the head when I go there. Come on. That's how you got to kill
But
them,
you
right?
could see zombies. They're dressed like zombies.
This is what I see on TV. So
there we go.
You know, shooting them in the head and all that. Yeah, but they're not real zombies.
Do you have to read that article, Gintro?
No. It's just the fact
there are
that
some bug zombies.
Bugs are a whole different story. That's a whole different realm. But the idea here is when you start talking about what they're giving names to because they see reactions, but they don't know exactly what it is. I mean, I can understand that to some effect because you don't see the wind, but you feel it.
That's part of the scientific process.
I can understand.
You know, a lot of dinosaurs were named after animals they kind of look like.
Right.
You know, or they thought they represented.
Right.
And they were called terrible lizards. That's
right.
That's where Tyrannosaurus rex comes from.
Well, they're measuring the reaction that it has to certain things, whatever it is out there. And until they can actually see it.
That's more for the dark matter. They can see the effects because it dims the lights from distant galaxies.
Right.
But they believe the dark energy, which is propelling the universe to continue moving, is what fills up the rest of that space. Because they don't even know.
So the dark energy
is your wind in outer space that is expanding the universe.
Darth Vader.
Next question.
You're right.
I'm very simple. I'm just trying to keep up with everybody at the table.
There
you go. Talk about dark matter. All right, question number five is, we got one from New Jersey here.
Whoa.
Laura from New Jersey says, what do you do if people don't believe you have abilities and some even stop being friends with you because of it?
I've been there.
Then the universe moved them out for a reason.
That's it.
You don't need those people.
Have a break to celebrate. You don't need them. Okay, Jack.
I've been there.
You've been there, and what happened?
You
got better friends.
Get different. You know what? I think the universe filters things out of your life for a reason. You know, sometimes you just end up, you need to be more around more like-minded people, and it really doesn't matter what they think, because a lot of times they're more closed-minded, and sometimes it isn't even that. It's that maybe they're a little envious or you know, because you're able to do something or you tapped into something. Everybody has the ability, so some people have it. They're born with it a little bit stronger, or maybe they embraced it a little more. Maybe they, you know, sometimes you really need to be open depending on which level we go to. But, you know, a lot of people just in our circle have had those issues where, you know, you can't talk about it, or you don't, or I don't hang out with anybody like that anymore.
There's nothing like writing a paper, like, for a group like I do, and having to put a different name on it because you're afraid they're going to Google you. You know, it's, you know, I'm a little scared. Oh, wait a minute. What is she? So, that's where I'm at.
This happens in almost every part of life, though.
At some point when you start doing this.
Think of these people at these guys that started out in grammar school, and all of a sudden they started to get good maybe with a baseball or with a basketball or football or whatever. And they had their group of friends. And then guess what? They got so good, they were getting so much attention somewhere else, they were hanging out with the other people that were really good in those sports, that some of their friends got left behind. Mm-hmm. Or maybe those friends got jealous, or who knows what. You see it a lot. You know, Jackie, you're like one of the premier psychic mediums ever. And, you know, people got jealous at you. People were like, Jackie, yeah, sure. Right?
Well,
and
why did
you know what?
To you about that?
Yeah, I'm psychic.
She didn't
remember,
know that.
I'm psychic. No,
Jeez.
But you had friends that, you know.
I have friends who actually were into all of this stuff as well. But when I chose to get late and so do whatever it was I could do, that it was such change for them. That it wasn't because I was just doing my thing and not worrying about what anybody thought, you know.
Right.
That whole paragraph was all broken up on this end. So some forces are trying to keep you from being heard. Please say it again.
I was saying that some people had a hard time with the fact that I decided to be this way, you know, out in the open every day of my life and embrace it as, you know, it became my life. And ghost hunting and all of that. Not everybody believes in ghost hunting. But I didn't. I chose to go the path of, I knew this is what I was supposed to do, and I'm supposed to help people. And there came a point where it didn't matter to me who came along and who didn't. And you know what? The ones that mattered did. The family that mattered did. And, you know, they either love you for who you are or they don't. If you have to hide yourself, then you're really not living. You know, there's a difference between being alive and living, and I say that all the time, you know, and for me it doesn't matter, you know. Some of them came around, they accept what I do, and, you know, you can't change people, you know, you can only change what you allow, you know, to happen, you know, or what you allow to affect you.
People fear what they don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been my experience. People will say, you're doing what? And it's like, that's crazy. It's got to scare you to death. Well, no, it doesn't scare me to death. It might scare you to death, but you don't understand it. And, you know, some of them I'll try to help if they're interested, try to help them understand. If they don't want to understand, then, you know, that's as far as you know, our relationship can't intertwine in this area. You know, I haven't stopped being friends with anybody in particular because of it, but, you know, they just don't understand that, so we don't talk about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I don't like being normal. I embrace being abnormal.
And you have nothing to
worry. Don't call me normal.
I don't want to be boring and be like everybody. I like being different, and, you know, it makes life exciting.
I noticed, I've noticed a shift, though, in acceptance in the metaphysical. I think it's like using your sports term. I think the metaphysical is turning into that new sport that everyone's getting involved in because they've seen all the ghost shows. They've seen all the mediums on TV. You know, the media has somewhat embraced it, and now people are getting educated. And from the Trinity Fest, Virgil and I were sharing stories with everyone, you know, pretty much all weekend, especially Virgil, and I think it's just going to grow and it's going to become more and more accepted, and then it won't even matter at some point.
You were sharing stories with people. How many people were sharing stories with you?
Oh, God.
About the same amount.
About the same amount.
Same amount, right? Two.
Yeah. Yeah, and even the kids, they were like, we're trying to believe that we're not crazy. And
yeah, but they're born, like, the younger generation, it's, like, right there for them. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're born into it. Like, they're at a higher vibration right away.
Oh, yeah.
They hear things. They see things. Back when we were young, it wasn't exactly the thing you talked about. But I think that's what people are afraid of. I think in my case, it was more, I still have people who, they get uncomfortable when they're around me because they think I'm, like, reading them all the time or I'm going to know what they're thinking. You're not invasive. It's not like that. You'll only get the information that if you need to know that about somebody, you're going to get it. I mean, I teach that for people. Like, if there's something that you have to know, they're going to tell you. But you don't walk around and, like, you're reading the gas station attendant and you're, you know, the checker on the food line. Like, it doesn't work that way.
But doesn't it bleed through? Because I know I use
their energy.
It.
But, like, there's people who they're actually not. They have things to hide, and they think you're going to, like, if you get, she does that.
Well, they become paranoid.
Then what if it is real? So maybe they're, like, leery of you, but what if it is real? What if she can do that? What if, you know, and then it's, like you said, the fear of the unknown. It's a little creepy for some people, and for other people, they love it.
I mean, when I am up teaching, and somebody, I can tell when somebody's just at the edge of giving up. And I say, don't give up. You have to stay with it. And they go, how did you know what I was thinking? You know,
you were meant to know that.
You know, it's like I needed to hear that right then. It really does bleed through into your normal everyday life. You know,
it just becomes part of our life.
Becomes
we don't know any other
it,
way to be.
Know? Yeah.
So sometimes I'll say to somebody, oh, is it all right if I told you that? Because sometimes I don't think about it, but I also know that if I'm told something and I tell them that they were meant to hear it, it's just you have to be careful. You can't just, like, spout off and share whatever you want, because maybe they didn't. Maybe they're not somebody who's able to. My friends, I usually do. Even then, I check once in a while.
See, I always shared these stories when I was younger, too, but only to a point, because my friends would, some of my closer friends would prod me into it. Oh, tell us some ghost stories. Mm-hmm. I would tell them after I got through about 3 or 4, then they'd yell at me to stop.
Yeah.
you scared us,
enough.
So stop talking.
Yeah.
You know, it was they only wanted just enough to get scared, and then that was it. And I still had all these other stories.
No, I got more. That
never,
I got more.
Yeah, and they would. I remember one time camping in the Boy Scouts, I did that. We're sleeping on a cliff, and I told them a few stories, and next thing I know, it was just me sleeping on the cliff because the rest of them ran back to their tent. So. But that's, you know, that. But it has changed a lot, like Paul said. It's much more.
Yeah.
There's a disturbance in the force, but this one's a good one, because they're the awareness, and like Jackie said, the kids these days are on a higher vibration, but they want to know that they're not going crazy. And that was one of the things we said to them. It's like, hello, you're like in a big warehouse full of crazy people right now. You're normal here. You're fine. And the biggest grins on their faces. Because it was such a sense of relief to know that they can share their stories and they're not going to be judged. Because we all have stories to share with them.
Yep.
So,
you know, she's talking here about having abilities, and some people stop Well, it's also going to be the other way. Some people are going to be attracted to you because you do have the ability.
Oh, yeah.
And just like whatever the ability is, whether you can feel it through energy or you can, last night during class, you said look into each other's eyes or hold hands or touch a shoulder because you get the energies and the vibrations through there, right? I just want to give you a quick thing that I just realized happened the other day. I work in a financial institution, and I'm helping people all the time, and it's wonderful. Little old lady comes walking in, and she had called me the day before and said she needed help with this, and this. So I said, yeah, I can do that for you. Come on in. So she comes in, and she's looking around. Now, I sit pretty much all the way off to the side, and people were asking her, can we help you? And she goes, no, because she was just talking to women, but she knew she was looking for me, Charlie, right? So she's looking in the back, and she comes walking around, and she goes, are you Charlie? And I said, yes. She says, I'm Audrey. And we started talking right away. She sat down. Took care of all her problems. No. I could see that she was a little uneasy. And I'm sitting across the desk from her. And you know what she did? I took care of everything. Everything was fine. But she was still just a little. She reaches across the desk and grabs my hand.
Yeah.
And she looked me right in the eyes. And she goes, yeah, I'm okay now. Mm-hmm. I know you helped me. Everything's good. And I was like, huh? I was like, really? And now, just thinking about having abilities, she probably realized that I was going to be there for her. I was going to do whatever she needed in the future. But it was the touch, you know, the ability of feeling something there. And last night was very good. Mm. Last night was excellent because a lot of times people don't realize, you know, you can touch with energy, you can touch with, you know, physically touch, you can touch with your eyes, you can touch however you want, and, you know, however it works for you. But the idea there is however Laura feels she's using her abilities, she'll get around the right people. Mm-hmm. It might not be the same people.
It doesn't matter if they believe her.
It doesn't matter. I sit there lots of times to talk about our ghost investigations. People say to me, you work there and you believe in ghosts? And I go, yeah, I don't believe in ghosts. I go, well, that's okay. Yeah, great.
No one has to believe in ghosts.
You don't have to believe in anything. I don't care, you know. But the idea, and then they just look at me. But you do this. I go, yeah. So what?
they expect you to work in a psychic store?
I guess that's what they want me to do. I don't know. But it
you
was
should
just,
have a
you
turban.
Know, yeah. I should wear a turban to work. And you know what?
You
they
should.
Can't
that would
make
be very...
me take it off.
That's right.
Anyway, okay. Laura, I hope you were listening. I think you got a lot of good information there. The next question is pretty interesting. It's coming from Jory in Louisiana.
Ooh.
And, you know, down in Louisiana, they got a lot of voodoo down there. So I'm just wondering if Jory partakes in that area or if she does what we do. But she wants to know, what is a light worker?
I just happen to have that book.
There you go.
There's a book, The Light Worker's Way, that Doreen Virtue wrote, which I absolutely love. But
I haven't read it.
Have you read it?
No, we have not.
It's a good book. Yeah, it's very good.
Wonderful
book.
Yeah,
great.
I bought it for Ruth, and I tried to read it without crushing the pages, and then I just gave up.
So didn't give it to me.
I know, I never gave it to you.
It's hers now.
It's mine. I was like, you know how you read like this?
It's the thought that
not,
counts,
you
yeah.
You let the cat out of the bag.
I know. I'm sorry. So if you are a light worker, if you feel called to heal others, want to resolve the world's social and environmental problems, believe that spiritual methods can heal any situation, feel compelled to write, teach or counsel others, and know that you are here for a higher purpose, even if you're unsure about what that is or how to fulfill it. So that's Doreen Virtue's definition of what a light worker is. And in the book, she goes through her childhood and how she came to realize that she had an ability to heal and actually speak to angels. And it's really quite a good book. But those of us who have one or some of those can identify with it, because I can remember wanting to to heal from a young age, that I thought that that was a calling that I had. And I didn't know anything about anything back then.
And a lot of times you're in careers where, or you're drawn to those careers where you are helping others and doing things for others. You don't know
being
why.
Being a lawyer?
Well, you're helping somebody, you know. Like,
oh,
for me,
okay.
I was drawn to the medical field. You know, I was always...
I was a teacher, though. A special needs teacher for 11 years. So that
well, that's even more helping.
You're helping people somehow, you know what I mean? And the other thing about light workers are they don't have judgment. They have a lot of patience for mankind. Of course, they're human, and they still have that at times. But they don't, you know, get to a point with people usually where, okay, I just, you know, it takes a long time for them to get to I had enough. But they know when they're supposed to step back, and that's different. They have a lot of patience for people in general, even if they're difficult people. And, you know, nothing, they're always about teamwork. Like, everything is done as a whole. It's not like they don't usually single themselves out and, you know, make it about them, and they have different qualities, you know.
The greatest thing that I like is when I'm doing an energy work on anybody, I feel like a conduit,
yeah,
for some divine thing, and I feel so privileged to do that. Maybe divinity is a wrong concept, but I just feel like I'm a method for this greater good to come through and do something for someone else, and it really, I'm very touched by that.
Yeah.
I like it very
and
much.
And light workers always live, they live their beliefs. Like, they don't just do one thing at one point and out, you know, in their private life they're completely different, and they do, like, things with the wrong intent or the bad intent. They're always, like, they're like 100% in once they make that commitment to do that type of work, and it's tough for, you know, to always be that way for some people, so...
Is a yeah, now don't laugh because there's all kinds of different light workers, right?
Well, they all have about pretty much the same characteristics.
Different
types of healing.
Okay.
Those were the generalizations.
Those are the biggest things: is how they go about through life, what they do.
What about the things you see on TV that light up? You know, what lights, and you can put it on your skin, and it's supposed to heal you. It's supposed to give you better circulation. It's supposed to, you know, that's light. Light workers, light healers. No?
Are there crickets anywhere?
Well, it's a natural form of healing in a way.
Is it?
You know,
Thank you.
No.
Thank you. Somebody.
There are syndromes where light deprivation,
yes,
in the winter can cause problems.
Well,
physical
they say
problems.
The different,
yeah,
types of lights, like fluorescent as opposed to incandescent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, constantly in the dark during the wintertime, you get cabin fever. And
mm-hmm.
But there's certain kind of lights. I forget the names of all these lights now that are good for your skin. They're supposed to be.
What is that
Saint
John of God thing with the lights over your?
Oh, the crystal bed.
The crystal bed.
It has lights going through the crystals.
Yeah.
That is supposedly is like a big hoo-ha.
I've been there and done that.
And
how was it?
I didn't feel a thing. Sorry.
Were you there with anybody?
Yes. Yeah, there was a person running it, yeah.
Oh.
And
you didn't feel anything. Not
what
even
are you getting at, Charlie?
I got nothing. The end.
Yeah, it's they have a different color. They're all quartz crystals and a different color light coming through each one, lined up with your chakras, and the light corresponds to your chakra. And you do, you know, there's like a guided meditation. So you lay under these lights while they guide you through the meditation. And I don't know.
And it's expensive?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't expensive, but...
They don't charge a lot of money to do that?
Oh, I thought they did.
Yeah, I thought they did, too.
No, it was at the place I used to work. And
she
I
who
think
shall
I,
not be named?
So
traded,
you got a deal?
I traded the practitioner for an equal time of Reiki treatment. So.
For an entertainment type of situation.
It was, you know, $30 for half an hour.
Okay, that's
so,
not.
I mean, that's not terribly.
You only
expensive.
Get charged if something happens.
But you know, when Jackie does her healing work, she uses crystals, and they have different colors. And I really think the colors are important in terms of the
mm-hmm.
healing. Right, Jackie?
Yeah.
As far as this machine's supposed to do something. I think it has more about your personal talents and intent.
Mm. So you think it's a machine, not her?
Well, the lights going through the crystals, it's not.
Did she leave the room?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Well, you're right.
Now, we like machines, though.
So those are just tools to get you to that point.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
It wasn't a facetious question at all, Charlie.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Steve. Brought back my faith in pink tonight.
Womankind.
Womankind.
See that?
Well, we got a question.
I am curious, what does Jackie do there with the crystals you were started to say, and then I'm sorry I cut you off.
Because all of us have taken the course.
Oh,
pardon me.
Oh. Yeah,
what about all the people in radio land and the internet and the world?
Maybe Ruth will take it too.
We use the crystals, and I use them on the chakras or the energy points for healing. And I have specific crystals, you know, I use for certain points, and I taught them how to use them. And
different colors weren't good for certain syndromes.
Yes.
That's what I remember.
And even working with the angels.
We did
a lot of work. We work with the angels. I do a little bit of everything in my healing, so it's, you know, I know it's a lot, but it's neat when you see how it all kind of fits together.
Sometimes in life, I feel like I need a crystal stuck right in my third eye. Which one would that help with me?
Say the amethyst.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Okay. Well, listen, Kayla out in California has a really nice question. This is a tough one because, I don't know. I'm going to read it to you. It says, I recently found out my twin flame is, and I find out who my twin flame is, and I do not like this person. I've had this confirmed by multiple psychics. Could this be true even though we do not get along? Also, a twin flame and a twin soul, are they the same thing?
Yes.
They are.
Yep.
Twin flame is one soul separated, so.
Yep. So twin soul, twin flame, it's just a different way some people call it.
Well, is that same as a kindred spirit?
No.
Wow.
Consensus? Wow.
Well, I guess not. I guess I'm going to have to change my tune here. But go ahead. Tell us about this. Tell us about Caleb.
Yes, you could absolutely hate your twin flame.
How can that be?
I don't think it's necessarily that... You're truly deep down hate them. I think what it is there's a point where you can be at different levels when you meet. And the way I learned it is if you're not aligned, you know, at the same alignment at the time that you meet, you know.
Vibrationally.
Yeah. You know, what it is sometimes one is at a higher vibration and the reason you meet is because the other was supposed to come. Because really the reason they have twin flames coming together is there's special work. You know, once you come together and you become one again, you're able to do 10 times more, put 10 times more of that energy out or the work or whatever. And in the last however many years, they were saying that they've had so many more that they're trying to line up for certain reasons, like Jane always says, because of what's going on what's going on with the universe and things. And so one of the biggest things is usually it's ego-based. One might have be more ego-based, so they're not on that same place, and that will cause that thing where you don't feel like you get along, or you know it's not meant to be. And I have people, I think I said this before, daily, that sit in my room and have either they're having issues with their twin flame, or they met their twin flame, or they hate their twin flame, or you know one person. They must have gone to 8 different people in 2 weeks when they found out. And it's very similar to this person that she only had 4. And she was just insistent that couldn't possibly be it. And there isn't anything you can do about it, you know.
You're stuck.
A lot of the reason is they didn't get to that point where they had that. They usually know there's something there because they had that initial bond and you can't ever remove that. But they never got to the point past that to know what it was like. So they get stuck in that. And
okay, so they get stuck in it. What if it's the reverse? They're totally mad about each other. Then what?
Then their life is usually, then they're
always... And they live happily ever after.
Well,
everything works out.
Twin flames always have that
that butt head conflict. It'll be really super good.
Butting or heads really... or just butt head conflict?
Okay.
All right. Take it away, Vera.
Take it away, Vera. That's another show.
It's really, really great 98% of the time, and then there's those things that occur that
2% of the dark energy.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, what I always say is, you can fight like viciously at each other, and then 2 seconds later it's like, hey, do you want to go and get a hot dog? You know, it's like, you totally can forget it because it really doesn't mean very much in the grander scheme of things, which is like the way Dave and I are.
Okay, so Kayla, Ken or Kent?
Can't watch.
What she should think of.
You know, what I tell people is, I tell them to just release that feeling of they have to know either way. Like, you know, if you don't get along with the person, go on your merry way, go meet your soulmate. You know, if you feel like you're just going to let life move along as it is, and if at some point it gets to the next level where they can get past that, or that person comes up to that place before, you know, one or the other moves on, that's different. But sometimes you purposely block it, and that's what, like, with her when she's saying this, because you can kind of tell by how it's written, she went to 4 different people to prove that this person wasn't her twin flame.
I think it's really interesting what you just said about go find your soulmate, because they're not the same thing.
And I know we've had requests for another show on that. That's such a big... No, because your twin flame, there's only one twin flame. You have a whole lot of soulmates. They could be your best friend. They could be your
sister.
Some
of them are sitting at the table.
Absolutely. Our soul group. But that's why when somebody sang it this way, where they had to check it out, like with 4 different people because they really didn't want this person, you know, sometimes there's something a little deeper in there that
you have to remember there's free will. Whether if we made a soul contract before we came to this life, once we got here, you can change your mind.
Yep.
Maybe that other, you know, the twin flame changed their mind and said, no, you know what, I'm not going to do that this lifetime, or maybe next time.
They're
going out and doing their own thing. Yep.
How do you recognize if it's your twin flame?
Oh,
like,
you know. You know, it's a different kind of instinct connection, but usually people who do this kind of stuff, they'll either... they'll ask somebody else who's more familiar with that stuff, or they'll sometimes, like for me, I've had people, they never said anything to me, but like we'll be doing a reading and I'll be like, oh, this person is your twin flame. They're like, I knew it. Like, I researched that for a year, and like they never said anything to me, but like it came out, like it's told, you know, to us. If it's a different type of thing, you know, and sometimes it is frustrating for that. Like I just had somebody in actually, and it's frustrating when they're at one point and the other person's at the other, and then they know. And I said to them, you have to let go of that. So it doesn't matter if they're not it. If it's not it for this lifetime, you don't want to ruin your lifetime either. You want to be a chaser,
mm-hmm.
which we've talked about in the past. There's twin flame runners and there's twin flame chasers, and you don't want to chase anything. You know, they're either there or they're not. And I think what they do is they go to the point of, oh, but I know how good it could be because we could be doing this. You just have to let it go. You know, and it's easy for me to tell her that, but she really doesn't have to worry because she doesn't like them anyway. But I think in this, it's saying maybe deep down, maybe there is something, because she knows it's something, you know, like some of the points I wrote down about when you know it is one is it's a strong bond instantly, normally, or there's something that pulls them, but it's not the same. It's spiritual and emotional. It's not physical. When it's a physical lust type of attraction, that's not like the twin flame is different. You're connected on a spiritual and emotional level, so it's a bit different.
You could have lust in there too.
Yeah, but I'm saying can be in there, but I'm saying their connection hits on that spiritual
that's
emotional
an extra bonus.
Level.
It's an extra bone.
And others notice it. That's the other thing with twin flames. Usually everybody else notices it when it's happening.
You know what his sister used to say? You know, it's like your brother and sister.
Yeah, do you know how many people said,
hello?
How many people, I had this one girl that came in and she was like, I've had this guy who was like my friend and it was like my brother, and then I guess it went to one level more and she was uncomfortable because it felt like brother-sister,
mm-hmm.
But then when it went to the next level, she's like, it wasn't brother-sister. So I guess, and I've heard people say that initially it feels like sometimes when I guess in the beginning it felt like...
But when his family is telling you that, I think that's, you know, it's very telling about, like, how similar
that we
are.
I think it's that familiar feeling when it's that comfortable. And sometimes it turns people off and other people are like, okay, that's a little creepy. I shouldn't be feeling like it's my
creepy,
sister.
But, yeah.
But then when they're together, that kind of goes to the wayside. And it's like, oh, that's why, because I felt so comfortable. And it's a little creepy, but...
Okay, next question.
Next.
We got Jess in Pennsylvania. And Jess, we're all going to be able to relate to this. Well, I'll just read it and then we'll talk. It says, I sometimes feel spirits around me. Last week, I went to the movies, and that night, it felt like the negative spirit in the movie was with me. Is this possible, or was it just my imagination?
Mark. Mark is listening in, and he wants the chat room on for Elsa.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right there, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Right away.
I'm going to say anything's possible in the movie theater if you can pick something up.
Uh-huh.
If there's a lot of people in there, you probably have a better chance of picking up, depending on your vibration.
Just don't take it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, leave it there.
Leave it at the concession stand.
Attaboy.
The reason people feel like they take spirits home from them in a movie or even watching it on TV is because if you're more sensitive or you're psychic or a medium or something like that, the minute you tap into that spirit, that type of spirit, you're drawing one in. So that's why she's feeling like that. And yes, you can bring it. I've had somebody who had that happen to them.
I hate to say, but don't you like set yourself up like, I'm going in and I'm wrapping myself?
Well, not everybody knows that. Unless they do this work and, you know, say they know they can kind of connect in with spirits, they're thinking of they're going to a scary movie. They're not thinking of, oh, my God, why do I feel like this?
Well, you're relaxed and vulnerable at a movie because your mind is on the
Most
screen.
Most of them don't go, though.
No?
You know,
you're not watching the right movies.
You know, psychic comedians either love that stuff or they won't go see it at all. They're one way or the other. They're either like anybody who's a medium or psychic or more into this stuff, they're either scared to death of scary movies, or
I don't watch them.
And
I don't
see,
watch
I love
scary
them.
Movies.
Me either.
Bring them on.
Depends on the scary.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I love scary.
I don't like the chop them up ones, but I like
I think we should all go to scary
quick
movies.
Quick note. Rest in peace, Wes Craven.
I can't make it that day.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever day you go to a scary movie, I can't make it that day. I'm busy.
We'll videotape it for
I know
you.
The night that the afternoon I went to see The Exorcist. The original Exorcist. When I came home that night, there was something with me.
Are you kidding?
It was scary. It was scary. The original, when I saw it. Huh?
Was it your wife?
No, way before my wife.
Oh my goodness.
No, the way you said it, that something came home with me.
No, actually.
There was probably a whole crowd of demons waiting to go home with people from
absolutely.
That theater.
Are you kidding?
Absolutely. Are you
no,
kidding?
No, not at all.
Sure.
I read the book.
Yeah, they followed
Then I went
you.
To the movie. Nothing came home with me.
Came home with me.
I remember when I saw The Birds.
The Birds.
And I was in college, and I came out of it was in the afternoon. I came out of the movie theater,
mm-hmm.
and the courthouse next to this movie theater, I mean, thousands of birds were coming off that
Did
courthouse.
You run?
I was absolutely terrified. It was the scariest thing after seeing that movie. I just was convinced I was going to be made into bird food here.
It's scary.
It was very scary.
And you know what? Then the imagination starts to take over.
Oh,
and
then
it's over. Then you're on your way.
Yeah.
I think as a group, we should go to one of these scary movies like on a Saturday afternoon.
All right.
What do you think?
So give me the name of a movie you think is scary.
The Notebook. That scares the crap out of me. You gotta sit there, watch that. That is scary. Oh, I mean, it's heartfelt. I mean, okay. Anyway,
he said that so quickly.
Anyway, here we go. Alex in New York. Hope you got something out of that, Jess. Okay, Alex in New York says. I see dark energies around people and have been seeing it more often. Should I tell them?
Mm.
Uh-oh.
Be prepared.
I mean, I might see him. I don't know if I tell him. But, you know, it's kind of, you know,
that,
you're on your own.
Is she, you know,
is
I'm
that
wondering,
someone's place to say it to somebody else?
I tell my friends. I would tell you guys. But I don't walk up to anybody and tell them that. But what it is you need to, if you see dark energies, like, there's a reason you're seeing dark energies. If you're somebody who,
could it be an...
This
is no offense to our person.
Yeah,
I was going to say, this is no offense to the person asking this question, but could it be something with that person and not the people that they're seeing the dark?
No, because I can see them around people.
Okay.
And I don't...
No, well, I mean, she's saying she sees dark energy.
I think what she's saying is similar to what I saw somebody who I had put something up on Facebook. There are certain people who have been able to see... They're noticing more. Remember we were talking about the dark shadows and dark energy people? There are some people who are seeing more of those around in general and around certain people.
Okay.
So certain people they resonate with. And what some people don't understand is, like, your personal thoughts, your emotions, and anything negative you're around or anything that's going on with you is going to affect your our aura is our energy field. So... those things are going to be attracted to somebody who has more vulnerability for that, and sometimes they don't know they do, or they refuse to acknowledge they do. Maybe they're in denial.
So is she seeing their auras?
I believe she's seeing certain energies that are with them that she's noticing because she's picking up that it's not something that's positive. You know how sometimes when we're around people and we'll be like, okay, they have something dark with them.
She could be seeing attachments to them, too.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And what we do is we're like...
Every bring a friend.
Yep.
There's always one at every bring a friend.
So do you tell them?
You go out and buy a box.
I tell my close... But what I'll tell some people is, oh, you feel a little off, you know? That's how I'll word it to them. Only people who I'm super close to that know that I'm not, like, being a jerk.
But you
we tell them Jackie's book. That's right.
Yeah.
but you, yeah, that's true.
So
you
what should they do then, you know,
you
enforce
don't go up to
their
the
bubble?
Stranger.
Or
and tell them this.
Pray? What do you do?
No.
I tell them how to cleanse themselves or protect themselves. Some of them know they're off, so they'll come in for energy work, and I cleanse them. Then we teach them to use sage and to, you know, try to get into a better place emotionally and mentally, because most of the time they're around a lot of negative people, or maybe they're not in a good place themselves. They might not be of right intent. Sometimes when it's like that, you have to just kind of stay away, because we've had that in here.
Bubble up.
Yeah. And then we protect ourselves, but we also know to kind of remove ourselves from those, because they're not on a path with us where it fits at that time, you know. They just don't resonate.
So if you saw somebody with bad spirit around them, you wouldn't tell them that they need a gold $3,900 box to put those
no,
bad
I'm not saying
them?
That. Like when I...
I mean, we had people that have told us that, right?
It's not that often that someone comes in and they have... it's that like that. But there are people who they know something doesn't feel right, or they'll say, what is this? I'm seeing this, or I'm feeling like this. And when they ask me, I do tell, because that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'll say to them, that's a dark energy. That's, you have this. And I do if they ask, because I'm supposed to, because they asked. You know, it's if we feel it, we protect ourselves. Like when somebody comes and asks, they're already getting that feeling anyway. Or like sometimes they'll get it. Somebody told them. Sometimes they feel off. Sometimes they see it in a dream. Sometimes they see something around them. Sometimes they actually see dark energy.
So Alex is saying, should I tell them?
Yeah,
if,
and I'm telling him.
If they don't ask, don't tell.
If it's not somebody who's super close that he knows that he can share something like that with, and they're not going to, you know, you can't really just go up to a stranger and say, by the way, you have a dark energy, because you don't know what that stranger is going to do with that.
Well, that's
maybe they're
might
collecting
be
the
dark
energy.
Yeah. Yep.
What was that, Ruth? What?
You don't know what their intent is. They may be doing it on purpose.
Right.
Like witchcraft or something like that, or some evil something?
You never know.
Who knows?
I mean...
Well, would you see it? You'd see it similarly around people that were involved in stuff like that, I would think.
Wow.
Right, Jackie? Wouldn't you think?
I'm answering our Facebook people.
If you encountered someone that, let's say, practiced black magic,
right,
or Satanism, you would see that around them too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've actually seen.
They're
that,
not the best people to confront and warn.
And you can feel it. It's a different energy. You know?
We've saged in between clients.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes there is, you know, people we know, and they come in and they have it, and it's sometimes telling them it is difficult, but it's because they're either not doing something right, their intent is, especially if we do something that's not okay, it's more profound for us because it's not something we're supposed to have around us.
I was holding a woman's hand because I do that at the end of my readings, and I thought, there's no other way to say this, but she felt dead. I felt like she was dead, so I come out. The lady feels dead. What do I do? Just tell her she's vibrating at a different frequency. Because, you know, she didn't ask me. I don't want to say, by the way, you feel like you're dead. You know, I mean, it's like a really, it was the first time something like that happened. So I was like, excuse me, I'll be right back. Come back in. Hold her hands again and tell her, you know, you're vibrating at a different frequency. You're going to need something to raise your vibration. Perhaps you should meditate. Perhaps you should do this or that. It was really kind of it was the first and the last time I ever got that feeling from somebody that they just weren't alive.
Did you have like vibrational, like a rock or something or what?
It was like holding a dead person. I can't explain it.
It's empty.
They feel
like holding
different.
A mannequin's hand.
You know?
There's
right,
nothing
exactly.
there.
And I can feel energy.
Energetically, they're not, they don't feel, like Vera's saying, they're not the same frequency, but they're, sometimes when you're at a really high vibration, it's such a distinct difference that's why we kind of, like, ooh.
It was really kind of scary for me because there was a lack of anything there, and I'm used to getting impressions that way, and I can look into, you know, what you should do about stuff.
Brooke, you got crows over there? What?
Sorry, you could hear that? That's the raven sounds for Vera.
Am I not the only person she does that to?
That's what best friends are for.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go to Gretchen's question. Gretchen's from Florida. And she says, what type of spirit is able to push people, move furniture, stack things, etc.?
A very angry one.
Yeah, we've been there.
Well,
I have.
We have.
Oh, yeah.
We
were showing that. At the,
what is the spirit's name?
We were showing that at the Trinity Fest, too.
But, I mean, is there a separate type of spirit?
Poltergeist is one of them.
The bad ones. And sometimes they're ones that are just combining with others, and they're using all of their energy to do things. Like, ours are just mischievous, and they tend to do that, and they're really not, you know, these horrible negative things, so everybody seems to group them all into that lump sum. Because, technically, the trademark thing for, like, poltergeist and more demonic spirits is to do that. They'll stack things up and you know, pile things and tables and chairs and things like that.
Oh, there's the dog.
That's his input.
That's our own poltergeist. We haven't come in.
Can I ask a silly question?
Sure.
It says on the website that the show is only an hour and a half tonight.
Oh, yeah, really?
We're going 6 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
So you got like 6 minutes left.
We're going to keep going.
Okay.
Wow.
We'll see what happens, right?
Jordan in New Jersey says, I'm interested in some new ghost hunting equipment. Which is better, a periscope, okay, or a vortex dome?
Okay, I'm going to know with this answer.
I didn't know you had to be Italian to know it.
You've got 5 minutes.
All right. They both measure the same thing, which is triboelectric, which is, you know that stuff when you take a balloon and you rub it and then makes the hair on your arm go up?
A.K.A. static electricity.
The vortex dome, even the maker says, this doesn't tell you whether there's a ghost there. And it's round and it's a dome. The other one, the periscope, has these little... Everyone watching? It has little doohickeys coming out of it. So that when... Like,
extensions.
Oh, thank you. And what will happen is if you saw it on Ghost Asylum, it can point in the direction that the static electricity is going. So
it'll follow it.
It will point where it's been or where it's going. You can see like a movement. So if you're somebody that wants to know about static electricity, you can. If my feeling is get the periscope rather than this, because this one just sits there and tells you. And the periscope will at least point where the static electricity is going. It's the same thing like when we're on a ghost hunt and our hair on our arms goes up,
mm-hmm.
like we're our own vortex dome. The only thing with these things is, from what I've been able to ascertain, is that people keep picking them up and putting them down and picking them up and and once you move them, they need a significant amount of time to acclimate to the static electricity that's ambient. So that you're going to get a lot of false positives. And there's actually a research website called Anomalies Research Society, and they test these things. And they have like 13 pages on the vortex dome. And, you know, at the end they basically say, hey, if you want to measure static electricity, this is okay. But there's nobody's ever shown a relationship between static electricity and ghosts. So I'm saying between the two, get the one that points. But as far as we're concerned, you can get your hair on your arms going up just as easily. So.
Well, that's interesting, because if you're talking about static electricity, I would say, yeah, okay. You know, I think everybody's experienced some form of static electricity in their life. But the first time I ever saw the ghost radar was when your husband had it on his phone. And
I bet you remember it, too.
Oh, I remember it totally. But the idea here was is that if you go out to their website, they say to be used for entertainment purposes only.
Yep.
And you sit there, and I'm sort of wondering, okay, do those dots, how does your phone figure out where those dots are, you know, the energies that are supposed to be out there around you? That's number one. Number two, how does it translate to it? Is that static? What is that? I mean, you know,
well, that's not static electricity. That's a manipulation of a vocabulary, which is different, I think.
It's just a manipulation.
It's a manipulation of a vocabulary. What's the
really?
Noise?
The way you said it.
Well, it's true. There's 2,000 words or something or whatever. But so they're taking the words out of there. But this is measuring. This is a type of measurement device. But what it measures has no known correlation. Plus, on this one with the vortex dome, it's got like all these LED lights. If one goes off, they all go off. So it's not like with a K2 where green is a little bit and yellow is a little more and orange and then red. This one, if it goes on, the whole thing's going. So, I mean, if you want to spend $79 for it, you know.
So, but on the ghost radar, I mean, besides the words, do you have those little colored dots moving around?
I totally ignore those, quite frankly. Because I've never understood them, so I would go with the words, because I know that they worked in certain instances,
well,
right?
Your name came up, right?
It did, yeah.
She's talking
my
about,
name came
like,
up.
The actual...
I'm sitting there going out.
The orbs that light up.
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention to those, except that it's kind of there. Oh, look at the little pretty colors. But the words, I think, are important. Or I'll look at the words, and I really think that the person that has it, my husband has great results with that. So I wonder how much, and I don't. So I wonder how much of his operator.
I think you're absolutely right.
Or
weren't you
operator. Quickly talk.
So, no, just for I was put mine next to Paul's. I think we were at an investigation, and we were right next to each other, and we were getting synchronous, simultaneous words and orbs on our things right next to each other on these things. So that's not likely. I mean, that's not like a random
thing. Well,
I'll tell
you what, I like it. I mean, it is entertaining for me, but then again, I'm a little simple. So, you know, I like to look at the little red dots, the blue dots, and all of that stuff, so I have a good time. But we're just about out of time. Want to let everybody know that we're here at Trinity Metaphysical. Jackie's our fearless leader. Jackie's here all the time, and if you need a reading or you want to talk to her, 973-209-7070. She's right here in Hamburg, New Jersey. We're all here. I'm going to let everybody go around the room and say good night. Say your name and good night.
This is good night from Dana.
Good night from Paul.
Good night from Virgil.
Good night from Mercedes.
Good night from Vera.
Good night from Jackie.
Good night from Charlie. And what are you wearing? Ruth,
good
Ruth,
night
Ruth,
from
there?
Ruth.
That was twice.
Go ahead, Ruth.
What are you wearing?
Good night. Peace, everybody.
Oh, Vera, you didn't
look up.
Didn't answer you.
Look at the sky.
Thanks, Ruth.
We still have 10 seconds.
I can still hear you.